and welcome to Real Estate Right Now, where we talk about real estate matters that matter to you. And I'm telling you that today's show is a show of great interest to everybody. Here it is. You know what? People ask regularly, you know what? I'm thinking about getting a place in the mountains. Yeah, you know, the crisp, clean air, you know, smell the beauty of it all, see the wildlife. And I got to tell you something, there's a lot to be said for that. I mean, I was just in, my wife and I were just in the mountains last weekend and with some friends, and it's a very cool experience. But what is it like to buy and sell a home in the mountains? I mean, if you were going to buy a home in the mountains, there's probably some things you should know. Well, thankfully, I've got my expert here. His name's Scott Thompson. He is a buyer's expert specialist with Linda Craft Team Realtors. And Scott has never been with us. So, Scott, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah. So, Scott, you, before the show, we talked, and you've said to me that you spent half of your life living in the mountains.
I did. Moved there with my mother and stepfather and when I was in middle school, and kind of grew up there and lived there off and on as an adult.
So, okay. So a lot of people, there's three types of people, and we talked about this before the show. There's people who want to live there permanently.
Yep.
There's people who want to invest. And then there are people who want kind of a second home.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've kind of dealt with all three, because you've also bought and sold as a real estate professional in the mountains as well.
Yes,
so you've dealt with this before. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the person who wants to live there first.
Right.
Okay. If you're going to make the move and say, okay, I'm going to move to the mountains, all right, and you're going to purchase a home, a mountain home, what is some of the first things that you find are different when you do buy a mountain home versus if you're buying a home in the city or the town?
Right. Well, the first thing I would say is, you know, where in the mountains do you want to be? There's a lot of different factors that can you know, feed into that. But, you know, one thing that people don't think about is there's a lot of homes, unless they're newer, in the mountains that don't have AC. Sorry. There's no air conditioning. If you're above, you know, 3,000 feet, right, 3,500 feet, people don't have AC.
Oh.
They don't, you know, and a lot of them were summer homes to begin with. So there was no need for it. And, you know, when the sun goes down in the evening, you open the windows, cools off immediately.
Right.
Good to go. So little features like that are a big one. A lot of the homes have basements, which we don't see a lot here.
Okay.
So you have to worry about that. Are they, you know, if it's a newer home, again, not so much of a worry, but a lot of the older homes, you know, is that dried in well? Is it sealed well? Those kind of things. You know, what's the drive like to get to the property?
Right.
You know, if you're going to be living there year round, you know, are you going to be able to get in and out okay? You know?
Right. Because the weather becomes an issue.
You know, you get snow, it's not that bad. You know, it's not like, you know, up north or something, but, you know, depending on where you're at in the mountains, you can get quite a bit. Typically you get small snows and they're gone in a few days most of the time, but you can get deeper ones. You can get bigger ones. They can stick around a little bit. And then just, you know, wet weather and mud, you know, that kind of thing. So you want to be, you know, kind of take that into account where you're going to be, how close do you want to be to other things? Just like you would here, you know, what's your commute? Right. If you're going to live there permanently, where you need to, you know, get to for work, you know, that kind of thing. Grocery stores aren't going to be as common. So, you know, where are your amenities and how far away from those are you willing to be?
Mm.
So, you know, there's a lot of really nice little small towns that are quaint and everybody loves those, but you may not have a really nice grocery store for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So you just got to take those things into account.
Well, I think that's really interesting because, you know, when we were out there in the mountains, we were like to the closest grocery store, I think it was like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Because we were outside of
Boone. That's pretty typical.
We were outside of Boone, North Carolina.
Yeah.
It was about 20 minutes. But it's not a 20-minute straight drive.
No.
It's a winding road.
Yeah.
And you're going about 20 miles an hour. And if there's any sort of precipitation on that road, you're going slower. It's not always an easy drive.
Yeah. If you're not used to the curves, that takes some time too, for sure. A lot of people really feel uncomfortable on those windy mountain roads. You know, there's a drop off on one side, sharp curves.
Right.
You know, people tend to go a little slow. And you get, you know, looky-loos that, you know, are going slow because they're checking out the view,
right,
that kind of thing. But, yeah, you have to take them into account. You know, you may have a grocery store, but you may not have other things. Target.
Right.
You know, the big box stores, things like that you want to have close by. Those may be further away.
So, you know, we live in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And so you were in the Asheville area, Boone area, mm-hmm, which are bigger mountain towns. Mm-hmm. that have most of those amenities available to you. The stores and the bigger stores and that type of thing. But that's not always the case.
Not at all.
And I guess it comes down to how important is that to you?
Right. You know, one of the things that's changed in the last few years everywhere is people being able to work from home more. So having high-speed internet, you know, that's another thing that could factor in. Mm-hmm. Some of those really outlying areas, it's starting to change now, but some of those outlying areas that are really far out, you might not have really good internet. So that could be a mitigating factor. If they do have really good internet, there's some spots where they were ahead of the game and saw this coming kind of, and you might be totally fine. You may be okay not being near the stores or grocery stores or things like that because you can do everything from home. You just make sure you don't forget anything when you do go.
Right, right.
Because you don't want to go back out. But, you know, there's a little town called Hot Springs. You ever heard of Hot Springs?
No, I have not. Uh-huh.
Hot Springs is kind of north and a little bit west of Asheville, right on the Appalachian Trail. It's a little teeny artsy kind of town. It's really cool. But there's not much of anything there. The French Broad River runs through there, the Appalachian Trail, a lot of outdoor stuff, but that's about it. So that's one of those locations that, you know, if you were going to try to work remotely from home, you may not get the good internet there and it might be a problem.
Well, that brings up a great point because one of the things that we ran into was we had no cell service.
Oh, that happens a lot too.
So yeah. there happened to be great internet in the home we were staying in. And so we had to make sure our cell phones were connected to the
internet.
That's
a really good point. There's, you know, just like anywhere, there's certain carriers that are slightly better. So you'll want to research that, find out what carrier really covers that area better than the others. But you definitely can have dead spots. When I was working in real estate up there, I had a Garmin GPS in my vehicle for mapping because you couldn't rely on your cell phone.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I had to have an actual Garmin with downloaded maps and everything because it was a couple times that I ended up, you know, end of the day, the sun's going down, it's raining and you're like, I knew the mountains really well. There was still a couple times that I was like, where am I?
Right. You know? Right.
So, yeah. You know, that's definitely a good thing to bring up. It's a very big thing to consider is, you know, will you have cell service? Will you have internet service? Those kind of amenities that we're so used to now.
Right.
You may run into that there.
Okay. So this then leads me into another thought as I was thinking about this whole thing. Is there a difference now that you've done real estate in the mountains and you've done real estate here in the city, Raleigh, which has got a cumulative of about 1 million people in our area. Is there a difference in purchasing a home when I mean, I know the contracts are generally the same, but is there some unique differences when you come to buying?
A little bit. It's not huge. I would say that things run on mountain time. You ever heard of that saying?
No,
that people
not.
Say that about the islands, the Caribbean thing. Right. Mountain time is similar. Things move a little slower.
Okay.
You're not going to, most likely, you're not going to find a home, go under contract, and close in 30 days.
Okay.
It's going to be a little longer. By the time they get the inspector out, get people out to do the different inspections, you know, you get all that stuff happening. Those guys move at their own pace, and they don't typically like to be rushed a lot of times. Contractors, anybody like that. So the process may take a little longer. Okay. That's one for sure. You know, the rest is state by state. So it's all the contract is the same. All that is basically the same. You know, you need to look for some different things. We deal with radon here. You deal with radon there.
Okay.
It's in pockets. There's some areas that are more known for it than others, but you know, that's one of those things, you know, you'll look into. Again, the type of structures, unless you're in one of the more developed areas, you're typically not going to see big developments like we have here.
Right.
It's going to be homes, you know, single built on a few acres or what have you. So you're not in an HOA typically. I mean, although they do exist, of course, but when you're out, you know, kind of more out in the boonies, you're going to run into less of that.
Okay. Let's talk about the inspection process.
Sure.
Because I got to believe that the inspection process is a little different because there's other considerations maybe that we have to consider in the inspection process that maybe we're not thinking of here. What might be some of those things in the inspection process that we want to?
Not a whole lot. Although, you know, again, there's moisture mitigation is probably the biggest one. And we run into that here, but there, you know, when things can be all funneled down into, you know, when you're on a slope, if the water isn't mitigated away from the house really well, you can have some damage there. It is wet, depending on where in the mountains you are. Those are some really wet regions. You know, there's a section of Transylvania and Jackson County that is only a few inches away annually from being a deciduous rainforest.
Mm.
So it's very wet, right. A lot of moisture in crawl spaces and that sort of thing. So, you know, the same things we'd look for here, just a little bit different, and maybe some areas where you want to focus a little more attention.
Well, and I would think too, correct me if I'm wrong here, but when you're in those individual homes in the mountains, you're also dealing with well and septic, right?
Typically, yes.
Right.
That is a good point. When you're not in one of the, you know, areas that's more developed, you're going to run into, or anytime you're out of a city, basically, you're going to run into the well and septic as opposed to sewer. We don't typically see as much of the community wells or community sewers like you would here. Mm-hmm. So that's a very valid point. It's going to be septic.
Which means you're going to have a separate inspection.
Typically, although they don't always do it as much up there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It just is a different kind of approach. You know, it's a good idea, and your agent should and will most likely recommend it like you would anywhere. It just doesn't happen quite as much as here. Here, it's almost automatic that we get a survey, septic, all those things.
Right.
And you should do those things, of course. It may not be as common up in the mountains.
So, well, what I'm thinking is you had a story where you had a septic issue.
I did. It was actually just a sewer line in the downstairs of a house that it was my first purchase, and we used it as a rental. And my wife and I also used part of the basement that we had sectioned off as our long-term storage. And unfortunately, there was a rupture in a line that we had to deal with that was pretty bad.
So. Now, I don't want to throw anybody under the bus here. That's not my job here. But was it something that could have been seen on an inspection? Was it something that, how could that have been avoided?
Well, so a couple things. It's an older home, and it was old piping that probably was due to be replaced. But mostly it was really due to the renters we had in there that probably knew there was a slow leak that they didn't report. So that's really more the issue. When we were getting ready to put it on the market to sell is when we discovered it.
Got
and
it.
Thought, oh, we need to take care of this, obviously.
Right. Right.
And it was old copper piping.
Oh, got it.
So yeah, we had that taken care of.
Yeah, I guess that the piping thing reminds me too of, because it gets typically a little colder than we get here.
Yes.
That your piping can freeze.
Definitely you're going to have more chance of freezing lines, and you got to make sure you're taking care of that. One of the other things is heating and cooling in the mountains is going to be different potentially. You will, in a lot of those older homes, you can run into old oil furnaces, which we do see some here, but that typically not in town. And the big one is you got to make sure that tank isn't buried in the yard. If it's a buried tank, you want to be really careful about that. That's something that does come up on occasion, especially out in the boonies. And a lot of the older homes that are out in the side of a mountain somewhere, especially at a higher elevation, may not have air conditioning. You know, they're, right. You know, so you want to be really aware of that. Going back to the water, you know, there are a few, it's pretty rare these days, but there are a few that are still spring fed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so that's a whole different issue. And it's really, you're going to have a hard time with a lender on that. You have to do some special stuff there.
Well, that's good. That's good information.
But there are some on it. You know, if you look at it like an old farmstead, for instance, you know, you're looking at some older property like that, you could run into that where there's a spring house and an old spring.
Okay. So let's talk about pricing in the mountains. I know, again, you've lived in different places out in the mountains here. Are you paying attention to what the pricing is there? Has that changed a great deal?
It has. I mean, it's just like anywhere. It's location, location, location. If you want to be, you know, close into Boone, Asheville, any of those locations, it's going to be a little pricier. If you want to have a view, you're going to pay a premium for a view. If you want to have live water, those are the features that people are looking for up in the mountains. We always used to joke that, you know, everybody comes to the mountains and they want, 3,500 foot elevation with a 360 degree view and a waterfall on the same property. And like, well, you can't really have the view and the waterfall. They don't really go together. But you know, people are looking for all those things. They want to check all the boxes. And so you know, that's really where the price change can happen. You know, is it in a really great location? Is it, you know, you can save a little money if you're creative. For instance, my stepfather built a home. He bought a lot for a really good price because there was a creek at the front of the lot that was in this big ravine. He had some forethought and creativity and saw that he could turn that into something and made it a feature. Did a, you know, dam with a waterway, and it's a water feature when you drive into the property. So, but he was able to purchase that lot for cheaper because of that. So it all is going to vary more on that kind of thing. You know, the big one is most people want to have a sunrise or sunset view, or they want to have active water. Those are the two big ones.
So here's a question then too that comes up is that, let's say it doesn't have a view. Right. Is there rules and regulations about maybe clearing?
Yes, it's a good one. Not so much about clearing, but in most of the areas there are regulations and rules about how close to the ridge line you can build, because they don't want to ruin the view for everybody. So if everybody built right at the tippy top, it kind of ruins the view for everyone. So there are a lot of rules about that, where you're not able to build at a certain point above that, going up to the ridge line.
Now, you know, I think we have some rules here in the city that, you know, sometimes you can't clear out trees.
Yes.
Here.
Yes.
Do they have similar types of things? Like you can... Like impervious soil issues or those types?
Well, it's more, typically that's going to be more HOA issue, just like it would be here. The state has regulations, and I think those probably are pretty similar across the state, but I'm not positive on that. I wouldn't be the expert. But you do have to be careful with erosion, of course. If you're clearing a lot.
Right.
You know, you're required to do certain things, or the contractor is required to do certain things to mitigate any kind of serious erosion downstream for water quality.
Yeah. See, these are the things that I don't think people are thinking about. They're thinking about, okay, you know what? I found the perfect spot in the mountains. I'm just going to clear all these trees out, right? I'm going to create my own view, right? I'm going to creatively create my own view. But it's not what you think. You just can't take out the trees.
Not typically. I mean, you know, you can to some degree if they're on your land, if you're on your property, obviously. But most people, we encourage, and most people do, is they top trees or, you know, get a little more creative with that. So you can get a view, or at least a partial view, but you don't want to ruin it for everyone, or then there's no point in having the mountains or going to the mountains, because then it becomes just like everywhere else.
Okay. So we've talked about the buyer side. What about the selling side? Cause you've done that as well. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is there differences, you know, when you're trying to sell a house in the mountains versus trying to sell a house in the city?
It's a good question. I think it's some of the same things we've talked about from the buyer side. You know, you take those into account. You know, am I in a location that's going to be desirable, you know, just like you would anywhere? You know, what are the factors that are going to impact us listing this and the price point? It's just a little bit different factors that are going to, you know, impact where your price point is. I mean, if you have a great view and you're 20 minutes to town, but you're kind of private and quiet, then you're talking about a kind of a premium price. Whereas if you're on a small lot that doesn't have a view, that's back in a cove that's shaded, you know, and, you know, it stays cold and damp all the time, probably not as premium of a price on that lot or that property.
So I guess I'm thinking too now that when you go into the buying portion of that, you need to think about selling, right? Because you may have thought, okay, this is the perfect spot for me, but
is it for everyone?
But is it sellable, right? Because you bought it for your purposes, and I don't know this. Maybe you have the stats since you were a real estate professional over there, but you know, typically the average person stays in their house 4.2 years or so. I know that slides a little bit. Is that standard there? Is it a little longer?
I think it's probably pretty standard, other than you have a little bit more of the mix of the vacation home. We have a lot of folks that split their time. The town that I grew up in particular, you get a lot of people that come up for the summer from Florida, go back in the winter to Florida, from the town of Brevard. So they go from Brevard County, Florida to the town of Brevard, North Carolina. they love that. So that is one thing you see a lot of. And so, it's not as impactful now as it was years ago. When I was young in that town, wintertime was just the local folk. The businesses didn't open as much. You weren't open all week long. They might close on, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. That's changed a little bit now. But that's a big mitigating factor as well is, is it a vacation rental? Is it full-time residence? Is it something, you're just going to use part-time? Those kind of things.
Yeah, let's talk about the vacation. Let's move into the vacation home. Because what considerations should people make if you're going to purchase a vacation home? Is it the same as if you're going to live there full-time? Or do you maybe have a different consideration since you're only there part-time?
I would say if you're going to be the only user of that property, then it's just really what is your motivation? Why do you want to be in the mountains? If you're going to rent it when you're not using it, then obviously, that's a different thing. And you'd want to be in an area that you think other people would want to come to. If you're just using it for your own purposes, and again, why are you there? Is it that you want to hike and do outdoor things? Is it that you want to be near the beer scene in Asheville? Is it, do you want to be near ski resorts such as Wolf Laurel or Beach Mountain? Is it one of the schools? You have kids going to Western Carolina or App State and you want to be in Boone or Cullowhee. Those are the factors that would come in there. If you want to be into the hiking and mountain biking and whitewater kayaking and rafting, then that's going to be what's going to determine kind of where you're at. And again, I can use my little hometown as a good reference point. Brevard has access to the biggest section of trails in the Pisgah National Forest. Mm-hmm. There's also two state parks and a third one coming there. So it's a great location for hiking, biking, all those kinds of things, but it may not be the best place for some of those other things. So it's kind of what is your reason for going to the mountains?
Yeah, this starts to get a little complicated because mm-hmm. I'm like going, okay, because I'm always thinking about selling, when I'm buying, right? I'm thinking about, okay, is this going to be a sellable property? And I know that selfishly we go, well, I'm going to go there because I'm going to do all those activities that I want to do. I want to camp, I want to hike, I want to UTV, I want to ride the horses and Vilas, right? And do whatever. But it you have to consider the sell side, I think, here too, right? Yes.
I mean, you can kind of try to find that happy medium like you would somewhere else, it's just different factors. So if you want to find that happy medium, maybe you want to be within 30, 40 minutes to one of the larger towns or cities such as Asheville, Boone, someplace like that. But maybe in an area that's also only 30 or 40 minutes to one of the big national forests or the Smoky Mountain National Park if you go further west, the things like that. Here's what you want to factor in and try to be in a kind of a central location to multiple things.
And in doing so, your chances are your prices are going to go up a little bit, right? Because the more convenience that you have,
absolutely,
you're probably going to pay more of a premium.
And for some people, this may be important. For others, it won't. But there are still some counties in the far western part of the state that are dry counties. So that's another factor people might want to factor in. Some people might. If you get way over near the Smoky Mountain National Park, Bryson City, that area, Graham County, some of those areas, they're dry.
Wow.
It's, the old mountain towns.
which goes against the grain of thinking, you think of mountain towns, you think, well, there must be moonshine in the mountains. Well,
there is, but that's not in the town.
right.
That's out in a cove.
Okay. Renting real quick. I'm going to buy a house as a rental. Considerations that you might want somebody to know if they're going to purchase something for as a rental.
For long-term rental, obviously you probably want to be somewhere where people can get close to a job or work. For vacation rental, it's all those same things we've talked about. You want to ideally be where you're close to attractions of some kind, something that people are going to want to do and see. You've got lots of different options with that. Almost every one of those little teeny mountain towns has something fun going on.
Right.
They're close to something. They're close to a section of one of the national forests. They're close to a river that can be kayaked or paddled in some way. They're near hiking trails, wineries, anything of that nature. You just kind of pick what you think would be a good marketing, for you and what you want to do, and go with that. You know, find the thing that fits your lifestyle, but you think also could be good for other people and people would be interested in. Being close to places where there's wedding venues is a big one.
Really?
You know, a lot of people do that. Yeah, because a lot of people go, you know, just like here, you might go out in the country or to the beach. People go to the mountains to do their wedding.
Right.
So some of these places where there's some little old chapel back in a cove that's real cute.
Right.
You know, sometimes it's something as little as that. But you just find that thing that's unique to that area that you think could attract people and bring them in. And you go for that. And you got to kind of weigh that out. Look at the demographics. Look at what kind of, you know, every county is going to have information on what their tourism looks like and how many people are coming in. So that's a good resource to utilize.
Yeah, I know we're running out of time here, but, you know, we didn't even talk about skiing.
No, there's a whole nother section of skiing. Yeah, for
right,
sure.
Right. If you want to be near a ski slope.
Yep.
That may be an increase in price too.
Absolutely.
Because that could be very popular.
Yes. And those places are great because you have more year-round attractiveness. Whereas in the southern end of the mountains, it's going to be more just the summertime activities. Wintertime isn't as popular. Some places, Asheville, popular year-round because it's something so much to do in town. But Boone, Blowing Rock, those areas in the what we call the northern mountains where they get more snow, definitely year-round. You have hiking in the summer and skiing in the winter.
That's beautiful. You were great. I mean, this was really fab. This was fabulous.
Yeah, just the tip of the iceberg.
I mean, yeah, we just covered a little bit of it. Tell people how they can get a hold of you if they got questions about buying and selling here in the Research Triangle Park area, but also maybe they want to contact you, ask questions about you moving to the mountains.
Absolutely. I'd be glad to help with either one of those. I have a ton of agents up in the mountains that I can refer people to. I've got a great network up there of really good folks. So you can contact me directly at scott@lindacraft.com, or you can get me at my number, which is still a mountain number. It's an 828 area code, 828-507-5563.
Repeat that number one more time.
828-507-5563.
Scott, thanks. This has been fun. Thank you for
joining
us.
Glad to be here.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's the show. You know what? We talked about the mountains. We talked about buying a house in the mountains if you're going to live there, a little bit on rentals, and also a little bit about a second home. You know what? We say here in real estate right now, we're talking about real estate matters that matter to you. We are so glad that you joined us. We know you have a lot of choices. You chose us. So thank you, and we'll be back next week. By the way, it's going to be a special show because it's going to be our Thanksgiving show. We look forward to we'll have that on Tuesday. So join us then. We look forward to seeing you, and as I say to you everywhere all over the world, ciao, everybody. Living if you're dreaming small.